The Gift of Healing Part 3, The Urgent Need for the Gift of Healing. Yay us! COVID-19 cases and deaths are dropping. More and more people worldwide are returning to work and beginning to return to some semblance of normalcy. Entire states are contemplating lifting mask mandates. Businesses are reopening. People are getting out in the springtime weather and visiting cafes, movie theaters, sports events, and more. Because of these circumstances, I think it's perfectly natural and expected that people are optimistic about the COVID-19 trend lines these days. Yet despite all the COVID-19 demise celebrations, remain some alarming facts. Leaders and judges pass and endorse laws allowing the murder of unborn children. They accommodate and fund countries who are violently opposed to God, Christians, and freedom. And they corrupt our laws, processes, and procedures and eliminate divinely inspired constitutional rights, provisions, and principles, leaving a country founded upon principles which are considered good, legal, as evil, and evil or legal as good. Along with the mass media, these leaders and judges also ignore and remain silent as anarchist groups foment riots and violence in our neighborhoods, espouse sexual education and even genetic sexual manipulation of kindergartners, and encourage them to reconsider their God-given genders. They give preferential treatment for individuals based on the color of their skin and not the content of their character. They embrace socialist and communist ideologies, and they mock, degrade, and even inhibit the free exercise of religion, especially Christianity. Now, within the church, we are still under condemnation for not taking the Book of Mormon seriously. Headlines regularly highlight active church leaders for sex-related crimes. Pornography has decimated huge swaths of Melchizedek and especially Aaronic priesthood quorums. Top church leaders, including and especially President Nelson, have condemned priesthood holders for having oodles of authority and very little, if any, power. And this is a topic I'll be covering in depth in a future post. The church's 2019 U.S. membership growth rate is 0.59%. It's the lowest annual membership growth rate for the United States in perhaps the past 100 years. And low birth rates mean the annual increase in children of record for 2019 was a mere 94,266. It's the lowest annual increase in unbaptized children under age 8 added to the church records since 2007. Did you get that? Our nations are murdering babies, boldly challenging sexual and even gender-based norms, stamping out not only Christianity, but also religion, morals, and ethics. And the priesthood is increasingly powerless to stop it. So, what has God done historically when mankind defiantly chooses evil over good? He sends us warnings. The first wave. Typically, God has sent prophets to urge people to turn away from sin and cast themselves upon the mercy of God. He did this with Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lehi, Ezekiel, Daniel, Habakkuk, Joel, John the Baptist, James, John the Revelator, Yeshua himself, Nephi, Jacob, Mosiah, Alma, Helaman, Samuel the Lamanite, Mormon, Ether, and Moroni. About a year before COVID-19 hit, in his annual 2019 General Conference address, "We Can Do Better and Be Better," President Nelson actually said, quote, "I plead with you to repent." Yet I haven't observed any major course corrections in humanity, nor the church. The second wave. Yet when prophets' pleas have been ignored, even for a short time, God has sent a second wave of warnings. They may come in the form of plagues and pestilences. The conditions for the alleviation of these divine calamities is threefold. Mankind must repent of its sins, its unbelief in God, and not remembering Him. The remedy for these plagues and pestilences is found in 2 Chronicles 7, verses 13-14. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." It's interesting to note that in 2 Chronicles 7:13-14, it's, quote unquote, my people who are called, quote unquote, called by my name, who are the fulcrum and healing lands. Now, let's assume for a minute that we can and should take God literally, and that we, his people, can help turn this thing around. Now, are we, as a church membership, humbling ourselves? Are we praying more than ever? Are we seeking and encouraging others to seek the face of the Lord? And are we turning from our wicked ways? Now, if we're not, things seem to be drifting more in the direction of evil than good, darkness than light, faith in the arm of flesh over faith in God, then how can we possibly expect the Lord to heal our land? The third wave. Mosiah 29:27 says, "And if the time comes that the voice of the people doth choose iniquity, then is the time that the judgments of God will come upon you. Yea, then is the time he will visit you with great destruction, even as he has hitherto visited this land." Now, I see no evidence that we collectively as church members are humbling ourselves. Seeking the face of the Lord is considered a quote-unquote familiar tactic of the adversary. Many who do so are considered zealots, troublemakers, and even apostates. Now, if we had turned from our wicked ways, then we would be seeing greater manifestations of priesthood power, which we are not. And for confirmation of this, you can see President Boyd K. Packer's talk, "The Power of the Priesthood," in the April 2010 General Conference, and President Nelson's talk, "Ministering with the Power and Authority of God," in the April 2018 General Conference. Finally, I am also convinced that the voice of the people, who's that? Maybe the elected officials who are supposed to represent us? In many countries, now choose iniquity over righteousness, and many laws which have and are being passed are corrupted. Helaman 5:2, "For as their laws and their governments were established by the voice of the people, and they who chose evil were more numerous," or in other words, they're the majority, "than those who choose good, therefore they were ripening for destruction, for the laws had become corrupted." Now, if these points are accurate, then is the time that the judgments of God will come upon us. Then is the time that God will visit us with more great destructions. What should we be looking for in these judgments? DNC 84:96-97. "For I, the Almighty, have laid my hands upon the nations to scourge them for their wickedness, and plagues shall go forth, and they shall not be taken from the earth until I have completed my work, which shall be cut short in righteousness." When will they hit? Here's DNC 5:19. "For a desolating scourge shall go forth among the inhabitants of the earth, and shall continue to be poured out from time to time, if they repent not, until the earth is empty, and the inhabitants thereof are consumed away and utterly destroyed by the brightness of my coming." Where will these judgments hit? Here is DNC 45:31. "For a desolating sickness shall cover the land." Now note, COVID-19 was bad, but it wasn't desolating, which is defined as to bring to a complete end the physical soundness, existence, and usefulness of. Now, how bad will this be? DNC 97:23-24. "The Lord's scourge shall pass over by night and by day, and the report thereof shall vex all people. Yea, it shall not be stayed until the Lord come. For the indignation of the Lord is kindled against their abominations and all their wicked works." Note that vex means to disturb the peace of mind of someone, especially by repeated disagreeable acts. What's the future of this plague, desolating scourge, desolating sickness? We find that in Revelation 16:2. So the first went out and poured out his vial upon the earth, and a foul, loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Note that the word sore in Greek is helkos, which means ulcer. It may be very foul-smelling, painful ulcers that are malignant. Habakkuk 3:5 also says, before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. What should we do during these plagues, pestilences, and scourges? Here's Isaiah 26, 20 and 21. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. How long will we need to stay in our chambers? Here's Revelation 7:5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Interestingly, a friend of mine who's very close to the Lord had the following dream last year. They say, quote, last night I had a very vivid dream about the next pandemic. In it, I was attacked by about 10,000 demons. When they first appeared, I was able to fight them off. But soon thereafter, all the demons, one sector at a time, got a unique and customized upload of information, almost like it was a Wi-Fi signal. I actually watched them get the upload, and I knew what it was, and it was ending, and I thought, oh crap, and sure enough, they were far tougher and smarter. I knew during the dream that each demon represented not COVID-19, but the next virus. Each demon had barbs or hooks on them, which released poison when touching someone. When they touched me, the poison was released and immediately started negatively influencing each cell in my body. I could see what was happening inside my body as well as the sensations. It was excruciatingly painful. As I fought them, each sector of demons would get a new information upload and adapt to my counterattacks. The poison changed my blood cells so that they would look like the current COVID-19, only instead of viruses with spikes with suction-looking ends, there were barbs like a scorpion or a wasp. It seemed during the dream that this battle lasted for about a day and a half. I was able to wake up during one of the upload times. After waking up, I was severely traumatized, and it took a while to begin shaking it off. How do you fight a virus that mutates and adapts to the counterattack? You don't. Mankind doesn't. Only God can. And the number one thing that God says to do throughout all the scriptures is to humble yourself, turn your heart to God, and repent. You know how when you look at a tree, you know it's a tree? When you look at a mountain, you know it's a mountain? Well, when I saw this virus, I knew what it was. It's the next one. Unquote. The torment of a scorpion. There were barbs, like a scorpion or wasp. Interesting. Exercising faith, the best and perhaps only viable option. According to the General Handbook of Instructions, members should be, quote, seeking competent medical help, exercising faith, and receiving priesthood blessings, unquote, which, quote, work together for healing according to the will of the Lord, unquote. Via the scriptures, we know that COVID-19 isn't the last pandemic we'll have to survive. Regarding the next pandemic, let me ask you, do you want to roll the dice that the wisdom of man, modern medical science, will know what to do about it? The preceding scriptures imply medical science will be powerless against these desolating scourges. Or that you'll have access to doctors even if they did know what to do about it, or that there will even be enough doctors alive to treat the living. Also, do you want to roll the dice that a fellow war member will have the requisite power in the priesthood, faith in God, and most crucially, a tight enough relationship with God to clearly hear, understand, and articulate his will, while using first-person pronouns to bless you? Or that you'll even be able to access another priesthood holder in the event of another lockdown, which the scriptures clearly state will happen again? Yes, seeking competent medical help and receiving priesthood blessings are important considerations, but in the path of an incurable curse upon mankind, will that be enough? The only thing left is exercising faith, specifically the gift of healing, a gift that, as you may be sensing by now, you urgently need. Neither you nor I know when the next pandemic's going to hit, but we do know that 1, it will. 2, mankind generally remained spiritually deaf to God's warning this time around. It's likely going to be worse than COVID-19. And 3, as we read in D&C 38:30, if ye are prepared, ye shall not fear. Prepare yourself for the wedding. Every bride seeks to appear beautiful in the eyes of her groom, but it's often an involved process, an expensive and long process. In the ancient Hebrew marriage, the bride and groom would stay separated for about a year, and the groom would prepare a place for the bride, and the bride would prepare herself for the groom. Her mission was to get ready and make herself beautiful. That's why you and Messiah are separated right now, because this is the time given to you to prepare for your marriage, to become beautiful in his eyes. If you're looking at yourself, your heart, your attitude, your spirituality, it can be pretty ugly. But don't be discouraged. For it's in seeing her lack of beauty that the bride becomes beautiful before the Lord. This is the time for your preparation. You have to become beautiful. And the Lord has been crystal clear not only about how to survive these future waves of plagues, pestilences, and scourges, but also how to spiritually beautify yourself prior to the wedding of the groom and his bride. You pray, call upon God's name, humble yourself. You repent of your sins and your unbelief in God and your not remembering God, and you seek his face. Here's another scripture which I believe meets this criteria. It's D&C 93:1. Verily, thus saith the Lord, it shall come to pass that every soul that forsaketh his sins and cometh unto me and calleth on my name and obeyeth my voice and keepeth my commandments shall see my face and know that I am. Want to dive into D&C 93:1 with a little bit more depth? Please visit this blog, ldsperfectday.blogspot.com. On the top menu, click Posts by Topic. Scroll down to the sections which begin with D&C 93:1. There, you'll see dozens of posts to help you start beautifying. Why? The question that is never far away. But healing doesn't come from the explained. Jesus, please don't let this go.
Take my tears.